I have AIDS.
This program contains mature subject matter,
including maladjusted youth, masochistic hillbillies, and the excitement of The Price is Right.
It may be deemed inappropriate for our younger viewers.
Viewer discretion advised.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
I'm giving you a choice. I could put on these glasses or start eating that trash can.
You maniac! What is a man?
When we are successful, and we will be, we had a real chance with this
new world order.
Hello and welcome to episode 238 of Behind the Schemes. It's season 2, episode 38. It is August 18th, 2025. Beautiful Monday summer evening here on the Bereft Coast. My name is Lavish. It's great to see you. Great to be with you here. It's been a little while since we've chatted, you and I, Scaly Show, No Agenda Stream. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus. We've been away because, you know, that's just how it is. And we're coming back bit by bit. We're building back better, as a great president once said. I actually have his commemorative copper coin, and I treasure it very deeply. I keep that one in my non-fire safe. Anyway, we are here, episode 238. My name is Lavish, and we kick off every one of these episodes, every single one of them, we kick off with a tarot reading. I usually read it with my co-host, Booberry. Booberry's been out, but I know that he's out there. He's listening somewhere. And he's familiar with this card in particular. This is the Strength card. We've pulled this card a number of times. I got the card here photographed and provided to you. Free of charge, by the way. Completely gratis. On Zoso's Corner. .substack.com/p/s02e38 Zoso's Corner.substack.com. Check out the show notes. Get me lit. Thanks, Pfeiffer. We're still figuring that out. This is going to be explained there in detail. You get the picture. The card is from the David Bowie deck, which was a gift that was given to me by the Rev Doc Pfeiffer, who happens to be in the chat right now. And if you're not in the chat, you should get in the chat because it's quite a time, I can tell you. There's a lot of friendly folks in the chat. You can get into an IRC client. Of course, you could just go to our website at bts.lol and get in that way. But you can always get an IRC client, and you go to the server irc.zeronode.net. And then you go to the channel, hashtag green room, one word, and you'll find us there, all 41 of us, as of this evening. I'm waving back to Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer's a cool guy. We've partied in a lot of different places, Pfeiffer and I, and he's a good guy to party with. I look forward to doing it again in other places that we haven't even been yet. I don't even know, New Orleans? Is that the jump that we have to make? I'm not sure, but it could be. We're getting our levels set up here. My console is getting a little dusty there. This is the Strength card. On the David Bowie deck, we've got a beautiful woman who is walking with two lions. These lions seem to be subservient to her. And there's a lot of a beautiful sacred geometry around her, a lot of sort of sun essence going on. The sun is a very similar card, I think, to strength. And we have, I guess, let's start with that. I don't know, too gassed to know. Strength, usually, traditionally in the classic Rider-Waite deck, is a woman who is wrestling with a lion by the side of a stream. And she's wearing, like, a white robe. She has the sign of infinity above her head. And she's kind of wrestling with this thing, but she's got it in hand. And it seems to be just the, you know, the main motif with strength is that it's a lady dominating a lion, which in some circles is considered, you know, very exciting. From the book I read here, I read from a really old tarot guide by Eden Gray, published in, I don't know if it's really old, but it was published in the 70s, 1970, June of 1970. Her simple white robe indicates purity, and around her waist there's a chain of roses, a symbol of the union of desires which creates strength, that wild unconscious force. Bow before it. And I gotta say, roses are a pretty tough little fucking flower. The message transmitted by this is that we must learn to create a balance between our spiritual and carnal natures, and thus influence the lower of the two. The lesson of the need for harmony between opposing forces is noted in the tarot. It certainly is. It's a very much like the Temperance card. The Temperance card, very, very similar. Mm-hmm. So it means force of character or character courage, moral courage, if you will. Spiritual power overcoming material power. Goodness, love triumphing over hate. The higher nature over the carnal desires, that is strength. And the reverse of this card, but we didn't get the reversed, we got the upright. But the reverse of the card, domination of the material, discord, and, you know, all around bad things having to do with that sort of energy. The strength. Strength of street knowledge. Get out there and learn. Your brain is your most important muscle, right, kids? Well, thanks. That's the tarot card for the evening, strength. I hope you guys take that in your week. You know, whether tarot is real or not, and by real I mean if it had any sort of divination properties in which you invoked some sort of thing to happen in the material world just by playing with cards, we're not saying that's the case. We're just saying that sometimes it lets you look into your own mirror. It gives you an opportunity to gaze into your own consciousness just for a moment and take it with you into the opening week. If you have any comments, concerns, if you believe the tarot is bullshit, you're always welcome to give us a call. You're always welcome to let us know that things aren't what they seem, or they are what they seem, rather. If you just give us a phone call.
Audio retards and autistic girls.
I like my beer cold and my audio issues solved.
They're just going to do their own thing. Tee-hee-hee. They're having fun doing it their own way. Tee-hee-hee.
Do a commercial. You're off the artistic roll call. Every word you say is suspect. You're a corporate whore. And end of story.
Hail set. Spare cool.
Tell me to get off your rocks.
Get off the rocks.
Be gay for pay, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Give us a call. 612-263-7999. Hopefully I have the right settings where it doesn't come through. I wish I could have calls come through. I cannot. You have to leave a Scream Mail on the Scream Mail line. 612-263-7999. Tell us how you're... summer's been going. Tell us what you've been up to. Tell us what is going wrong around here. Tell us if there's something that you hear from this information going forward that you may have some sort of relationship to. We're going to talk about the airline industry tonight. But it is a sort of a thing here to roll. So I'm going to roll my dice here. I'm just going to try and find a quick D20 and see what my rolling luck is looking like tonight. Okay. You know, Booberry usually rolls pretty high. Booberry is a very, very good roller of dice. I rolled a 5. An average. That's what I'd call myself, an average roller of dice. Number 5, not too bad. 5's a fun card, you know. The strength card is an 8, by the way. The 8th of the major arcana of the tarot deck. 5-3. Indeed. I'm not going to try and say that there's any kind of connection. But if there is, 612-263-7999. Today I'm going to talk about the airline industry. The airline industry is a complicated entity. Everyone knows that flying sucks. We all hate flying. We all go to the airport. We all suffer for it. You know, it's stressful. It's physically demanding. It's unreliable. You get late, delayed flights. It's dangerous in a certain way. Frustrating. And most of all, it's very expensive. And the average person honestly can't really afford to travel as much as used to be in years past. And I kind of noticed that just from my own experience, you know, my family. We don't travel very far, but we do travel often close by places and do little flights, do like little cheap flights. And I just seen, you know, it's kind of evaporated away. The airlines have gotten very savvy. And I found some stuff the other day on it that had to do with what kind of revenue streams the airlines are getting these days. Because essentially, the business of flying people isn't the main driver of profit in airlines anymore. They have to find these other ways of making money, because ultimately it's so expensive to build planes and to fly people and to buy planes and to fly people around that it's not feasible to have charge people the amount of money that it really costs to go through. I have here a clip, if you will. Soso'sCorner.substack.com. Please, for the love of God, send me pictures of your feet. 612-263-7999. We're going to learn together. We're going to look at feet together. It's going to be a really nice Monday. I promise. I promise you. The early days.
During the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, airlines were hemorrhaging money, and so, naturally, they looked for a loan. United, for example, sought $5 billion to tide the company over until travel came back, but like with any loan, they needed to put up collateral. They needed to offer something to the bank that it would acquire if the company failed to pay the loan back. The problem was, United wasn't worth much at the time since, of course, it was hemorrhaging money, meaning it would have had to offer a huge chunk of itself as collateral. Rather, they decided to offer one of their subsidiaries as collateral, Mileage Plus Holdings LLC, essentially their loyalty program. Of course, given that United is a publicly traded company, they have various financial reporting requirements, including the obligation to file a Form 8K with the Securities and Exchange Commission whenever a major business event takes place, such as taking out a multi-billion dollar loan. Of thousands, one line on this document stood out. Quote, "Multiplying Mileage Plus Holdings' 2019 EBITDA by a factor of 12 equates to a Mileage Plus valuation of approximately $21.9 billion. $21.9 billion. That's the value of United's loyalty program, according to the company, and this loan. Similar financial disclosures from Delta and American Airlines peg the value of their loyalty programs at $26 billion and $19.5 to $31.5 billion, respectively. So, notwithstanding their size, why did these numbers turn heads? The airlines' market caps. These figures equal the total value of all the shares in each company. It's essentially a real-time indicator of what Wall Street considers a company worth, given the ebbs and flows in stock prices. At the time, United's was $10 billion, Delta's $20 billion, and American's $6 billion.
Oh yeah, that was a lot of stuff to go through that clip there, I know. And yes, I'm not lit, and I didn't really advertise much of the show tonight. I mean, if someone can give me lit, that'd be great, as always. But I don't know. We got to talk to, you know, I should just call up Eric or somebody after this and we'll get it going. I have just some issues accessing the RSS, but we can probably overcome those trials and tribulations with the right questions asked to the right people. But anyway, we're just kind of chugging along anyway. If you're here, you're here. And if you're not, you're not. And that's fine. We're live. We were live every Monday night. And this is Monday night. We're at our regular scheduled time. No big deal. No big deal, you know. So we're talking about these airlines being unprofitable. They're talking about, they went through the numbers there about exactly what the valuations are of the companies. The idea that in order to secure a loan, they needed to have collateral in order to, you know, tell the banks, hey, we need to borrow a bunch of money to make it through COVID. We need you guys to loan us $5 billion. And the bank says, well, what are you going to put up in case you default? And they had these loyalty programs. And these loyalty programs, in the process of getting this loan, the government, forces it, the whole deal to be very transparent. If you get a loan over a certain amount of money, then it has to be an open thing. The books have to be open. And so it was shown that the value of these loyalty programs with American Airlines was somewhere in the range of $21 billion. But the valuation of American Airlines on the stock market, and this is in early 2020, mind you, and this is after a huge collapse of their stock price from $90 to like $30. They only had a valuation overall in the stock market of $8 million. So the value programs were worth $21 billion. They're on paper only worth $8 billion. So what that leads you to believe is that the airline part of the business is so unprofitable that that it is actually a detriment to the company. And it's a necessary evil in a certain way. So in 2020, the airlines had a market cap as follows. United had, let's see, it was $10 billion. Delta was $20 billion, and American Airlines was $6 billion. And it was United that was getting a loan, not American, excuse me. and we even got a boost coming in. And I got boost, too. I got boost. Oh, I got boost, baby. Let me get some boost going here. Do I got boost? I know I got boost. Was it the chainsaw? I'll fucking give you a chainsaw. Was it? Oh. Well, I'll give you a goat. Oh, I'll blow a head off a goat for you. I owe you one. I owe you a chainsaw. As soon as I find it. Here, I'll give you another one just for the juice. Don't tell anyone, all right? We're just having a good time. Right? There we go. Give you a samurai slice for you. So United was $10 billion, Delta $20 billion, and American was $6 billion. But in 2025, United is $33 billion. Ding, ding, ding. Wait, where's my... Oh. $33 billion. So that's over three times. Delta went from $20 billion to $39 billion. That's double. And America went from $6 billion to $9 billion. Nice job, American Airlines. Yeah, so in 2020, United, $10 billion. Public declarations, they show this massive, through this massive loan that they have these loyalty programs. So basically they show that airlines, in essence, on paper, in real life, in practical nature, are worthless.
Therefore, at least according to Wall Street, airlines themselves are worthless. In fact, they're more than worthless. They have negative value. They're loss leaders. And the only thing imparting each airline with value is its loyalty program. This is a less absurd proposition than it might initially seem. In 2018, well before the COVID-induced travel downturn, American Airlines earned about 14.42 cents in passenger revenue per seat per mile flown. But simultaneously, it cost them 14.85 cents to operate a given seat 1 mile. So the airline actually lost about half a cent for each mile it flew each seat.
Mm. I agree, Cotton Gin. We should bring more trains into the situation. And nice trains, too. That would be great. But the truth is that as with trains, as far as I can see, as well as with planes, not automobiles, it's just too expensive. It's just too expensive to build anything anymore. You can't fucking build anything anymore because it's all too expensive. So that's why the cost of flying is not too expensive. To make a profit, they say they lose half a cent per flyer. And then as for the trains, well, the argument I always hear with trains is that the rails already exist. There's a lot of rail line out there all across the continental United States that is not getting used. And if they were able to repurpose some of those lines, then we would easily have more train infrastructure. But someone's got to pay the bill on that. So I found this very great little, we do have the largest rail network in the world. I have ridden the train, and I got to say, it's fucking great. Love the train. You can get fucking hammered on the train if you wanted to. I'm not saying you want to. You can also have a lovely time, you know, have some tea, read a book. One commenter I saw on YouTube had this to say. He said, I work, so take it with a grain of salt. I don't know if this is a real person or not, but I thought that it seemed honest enough. I work for one of the big three airlines, this person says. During our last bankruptcy, they liquidated our pensions. They said they had no assets value to keep it funded. Our union pointed out that their loyalty program was worth billions. They disagreed, saying that it had no value and that they would use that they could use to leverage any money from. Flash forward to 2020, and somehow they're securing billions of dollars worth of loans with that same shit. So, they get in close with the banks, and as you see here, I mean, right off the bat, I'll just say straight up, the airline becomes a bank or at least a credit agency, or at the very least, and this is a huge insult to them. They're a cryptocurrency. They're a crypto fucking maker. They're a shitcoin. They're a shitcoin. Okay? I said it here. Airlines are shitcoins, and we're going to prove it.
The company, however, earned $1.9 billion in pre-tax profits thanks exclusively to their $4.2 billion in frequent flyer program revenue. In the U.S., airports are plastered with ads for co-branded airline credit cards touting free checked bags and other benefits. They're stuffed with lounges accessible to frequent flyers, but not even first-class passengers. They're littered with priority lanes reserved for getting elite status members through security and onto planes more quickly. Airlines even have their flight attendants acting as salespeople, reciting credit card pitches at 30,000 feet in exchange for the chance of a commission on a passenger's sign-up. The reason why the entire flying process in the US and increasingly other countries seems like a carefully manicured experience nudging you to sign up for credit cards and frequent flyer programs is because of these numbers. Airlines are hardly transportation companies anymore. Over the past 40 years, they've crafted a system so effective, so unbelievably advantageous to their own interests, that they are now willing to lose money flying to prop up their frequent flyer businesses. Businesses whose core proposition is giving away free flights. Today, airlines are basically banks.
So me, I like to travel, right? I like to drive, I like to fly, I like to take trains, I like to take boats. I don't give a shit. I actually love flying. I literally love flying because I'm trying to get my pilot's license. I love airplanes. I love aviation. I've my whole life I've been developing like systems with how to deal with airports, how to get in and out of airports, because my whole adult life has been post 9/11. I've been trying to get places, you know, close by. Sometimes, you know, I live in California. Sometimes I'll just fly up to Oregon or I'll just fly up to Washington. Real cheap flight. You know, really easy, hour and a half flight, nothing too crazy. And I'll just whip that out. I mean, you know, once a year at least, I'll just like whip off somewhere close by. Now that I have the small group, I get to really enjoy running around the country. And I'm very, very grateful and I'm very lucky for that. But before I knew them, I had to go and make my own fun. And so I'd run around, and I have a very, like, detailed memory of all the systems that I've used throughout the years to get through the airport. Because they have all these different priority lanes, as the guy said. They've got TSA pre-check, which has always been my thing, always getting TSA pre-check. And now, as you fly and you go to airports, you find that they've now stopped having regular people take off their shoes. So if you're going through the TSA checkpoint and you don't have TSA pre-check, you can still keep your shoes on. That's a big deal. That is the kind of thing, it's the exact perfect example of the kind of thing that should be on the news, is not on the news, but is so newsworthy, in my opinion. Lavish Airlines? Oh, I wish. Psh. I don't know, man. Running an airline, it sounds like somebody who runs an airline, it's like the old school train, the railroad barons of the years of yore. That's what I think of. Just some psycho. Never sleeps. Flies all over the world. Chases the sun or runs away from it, from whichever perspective you think. So anyway, this, of course, as all of the greatest of America's gluttonous points on Wall Street, began in the 80s.
This all snowballed from a concept no different than the loyalty punch card at your favorite sandwich place. You fly a certain number of times, you get a free flight. While airlines had already started tracking the activity of individual flyers, formal frequent flyer programs became technically and legally possible with the deregulation of the American airline industry in 1978. The first program was set up by a small airline called Texas International, which later merged with Continental, but the first major long-haul airline to do so was American Airlines in 1981. What the airline observed...
I just wanted to say, American Airlines is way older than I thought it was. And has been around for a long time. I mean, aviation hasn't been around that long in general. I got to give a shout out here to a couple boosts that came through. I got 2333 threes from DeLorean. And she says, ding, ding. What a lavish magic number Monday night via Podcast Guru. Thank you, my dear. Thank you, my dear. And Sir Spencer also came through with 4 threes. And he says, train emoji, thumbs up emoji, plane emoji, thumbs down emoji, train's good, plane's bad, fuck planes, haven't flown since 2016. That's a good idea. Flight to Orlando for nude beach and libertarian convention shenanigans. Okay. Oh, and you met Gary Johnson, the god of fucking libertarians. Vermin Supreme, the other god of the devil of libertarians, and John M.C. John M.C.? M.C. Dvorak? It continues on to the next line. John McAfee there stayed in a clothing optional Airbnb. Is that a filter you can do when you're looking at Airbnbs? Clothing optional, pet friendly. Can't top that, so gave up flying. And that's what Sir Spencer said via the Fountain app. Shout out to Oscar, Mary Oscar, who once promised me in Nashville that we would go skiing together. I'm going to hold you that. I'm going to hold you to that, Oscar. Okay. Thank you so much, Sir Spencer. Thank you so much, DeLorean, the beautiful, very attractive hosts of Bowl After Bowl, a fantastic show, which is live every Tuesday night at around 7 o'clock my time. Which is about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock over on the East Coast. So we look at these in the late 70s and the early 80s, we have the beginnings of the frequent flyer program, which begins with the deregulation of the aviation industry. Now, many people don't know this, but the aviation industry, the airline industry, was controlled by the federal government, leaving the war period, World War II, that is. World War I, the time period between World War I and World War II, is considered the golden age of aviation, where airplanes were, you know, changing from being made of wood and fucking clothing to being made out of metal, and that had to do with the development of the combustion engine and the development of lighter and lighter aircraft-capable combustion engines, you could make bigger, stronger planes as time went on. And coming out of the war period, the airline industry was totally controlled by the federal government by something called the Civil Aeronautics Board. It's the department. It doesn't exist anymore. Civil Aeronautics Board, CAB. And then you also had the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, but they were more in charge of safety, whereas the CAB, it was like a nationalized sort of industry in general. And it wasn't until 1978 that the federal government finally allowed for the airline industry to be privatized. I'm sure that there was complications and there were private airlines before this time, obviously, but it was a much more strict sort of situation back then. And then after this, they got to do whatever they want. And as we see, they've really run away with it. If you let these people take in an exploit, if you find a weakness in the armor, I can't say the other term anymore. If you find a weakness in the armor, then you can take advantage of it. And I got to say, the airline industry has done nothing but that. Very, 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 very beautifully.
They started to realize them in 1987 when American teamed up with Citibank to offer a co-branded credit card. That way, for every dollar spent on the card, the member would earn a point. This dramatically increased the volume at which American and other airlines sold points to external partners and shifted these programs from ways to incentivize more spending on airfare to profit centers in and of themselves. Today, part of the strength of these multi-billion dollar programs is based on the fact that, despite their strength, government and businesses essentially treat them the same as that sandwich shop punch card. To start with, almost universally, points are not taxed. Despite the fact that one can accumulate points like income and redeem them for something worth money, governments consider it a rebate or cash back on your purchase, because to get that reward, you had to spend money and you can't exchange that reward for money. At least officially. Just as you don't pay tax on the amount saved when bananas are 25% off at the grocery store, you don't pay tax when the airline awards you points you can use for free flights. In this case, the savings just happen further away from purchase.
I know, Cotton Gin, the way he talks does kind of suck, but he's got some good info.
However, unlike with sandwich punch cards or banana discounts, in this case, the people paying for the flights are often different than those receiving the reward. Almost all of airlines' most frequent flyers travel on business, in which case their employers pay the airfare. Despite that, frequent flyer programs award points to the individual flying, not the individual paying.
Yeah, so that's an important point, that a lot of the air travel that's going on out there is corporate. It's people flying on their company's credit cards, and the people that are flying out there aren't the people that are actually paying. They don't pay out of pocket to go on these planes, but they do get the benefits of the points. And the companies that allow them to, the companies that pay for the flights, they allow them to keep those points as a sort of like a benefit, as a sort of a, you know, a greasy little way to give some love to your employee that really doesn't cost the company anything at all. You know, you're flying people around anyway. You have to do it as a means of, an expensive business of operation. They're going around making you money. These flights are paying for themselves. So that is as long as there's plenty of people that are running around doing that, then the average person who's just traveling for pleasure, especially when it comes to business and first class, is going to get priced out by the big companies that are able to afford those tickets. And it drives it all up. And of course, to the hot spots. But really, it's getting to the point where it's all over the place. I realized I didn't finish this other clip that I was playing, and it had to do with the way that the points are monetized. The way he explains it is interesting, and it has to do with Hertz. it has to do with selling the points to other companies. And when you work with partners and you have to, you know, say Hertz is saying, well, you rent from us, we'll also give you points with American Airlines. American has to sell Hertz those points in order for them to have them, in order for them to make that kind of a deal in the first place. And so American starts selling points at 1 cent. 1 cent a a point. And for, you know, 25,000 points, it's $250. $250 for an $18 flight. What would have otherwise been an $18 flight? This being in 1980, when the average flight cost was $15. Suck that in, America. Those crafty little bitches. Fucking airlines, man. Anyway, I basically just explained what that clip was going to say. So that starts the trend, or starts the real monetization of these points and turns them officially into something that I think that a lot of us here are very familiar with. And that is, it's a token. And now in today's digital world, it's a digital token. And it's a digital token that the airlines can create at will. They aren't regulated. They aren't taxed. They can just, boom, make more out of thin air, sell them to companies, and it has this prospective wealth that brings in all this money at face value for something that doesn't actually exist. It's which is what banks do all the time with fractional reserve banking. So there's a lot of parallels there, and there's a lot of parallels, of course, with cryptocurrency. It's very interesting, but the main thing about it is that it doesn't get taxed.
They started to realize them. People paying for the flights are often different than those receiving the reward. Almost all of airlines' most frequent flyers travel on business, in which case their employers pay the airfare. Despite that, frequent flyer programs award points to the individual flying, not the individual paying. In addition, if the employee books the trip on their company card, they also get the credit card points from that spend. The companies paying don't really have a problem with this because it essentially acts as a free, tax-free benefit for their employees. Business travel isn't anywhere as glamorous as it used to be, so companies are happy to allow their employees to earn points they can eventually use for leisure travel in exchange for them getting out on the road and making money.
And that's also true. The level of luxury and comfort has gone around across the board has gone down. But the dichotomy also is there, where first class gets stupid shit compared to what business class gets, which gets stupid shit compared to what coach gets. And coach is like sitting in a fucking pit, with these tiny little seats with no room for your... I mean, I got big fucking shoulders, man. I fucking hate sitting in coach, dude. And then you're always next to some fucking asshole who doesn't know how to share... You know what? I'm going to stop myself. We're going to play the next clip here. The same points.
So both tax law and company policy, or the lack of it, works in favor of the airline. The way in which frequent flyer programs were set up wasn't perfect, though. There was potential for exploits. Namely, as airline revenue management systems became more complex, price and travel distance became less and less correlated. Nowadays, it's rather intuitive to us that the 400-mile flight from DC to Nantucket, a high-end vacation destination, is going to cost more than the 400-mile flight from DC to Boston.
Nantucket!
In fact, American's lowest price for that Nantucket flight is $98, while its flights to Boston start at just $49. So, it's double the price for the same distance, simply because the more wealthy travelers headed to Nantucket are more likely to pay for the convenience of a nonstop flight. Meanwhile, based on the traditional 1 mile, 1 point system, the member would still gain just 400 points for each of those flights, despite the difference in price.
Yeah, so thus begins the exploit. At first, the loyalty programs are based primarily on distance. So you get so many points based on how many miles you travel. And it doesn't take long to figure out that there's more than one problem with that situation. One is where you're... Wherever you're traveling to, whether you're traveling 400 miles to a shithole versus 400 miles to a luxury beach resort, you know. And then there's also the matter of just people cheesing it, you know. If you just get a bunch of $20 flights all the time, then of course you're going to get more free flights. And the people that are shelling out more money for the ticket are actually getting screwed in a sort of way by the common man, which is, you know, not a bad thing, really, if you think about it. But the airlines, they refuse to be exploited.
Therefore, if someone found an itinerary that was low cost but long distance, their mileage earning could be so high that the miles earned would be worth more than the cost of the flight. For example, if one found an itinerary from Los Angeles to San Francisco via Chicago, The traveler would earn 10 times the points than if they flew direct, and more complex revenue management systems would likely price that long, circuitous connecting itinerary lower than the nonstop one.
I'm going to give Cotton Gin little breaks from this guy's voice because I know it's bad. There are too many people, Eric PP. And, you know, there's a lot of big people in this group. I've hung out with this group. Bunch of big-ass motherfuckers, you know? Bunch of corn-fed American, all-Americans. All-Americans. Dream team. And I don't want to touch strangers either. That's one of the hardest parts about the airport is that very few other places are you going to be in the same room or the same vicinity with so many people. And not only so many people, but so many different kinds of people. You're going to be brushing past, you know, a Celtic warrior and an Arabic family and, you know, refugees and some billionaires from Monaco all in one day. You're all going to be eating the same shitty Subway sandwich waiting for your shitty flight to come in. And that's what's fun about the airport, and it's also what's terrifying about it. You don't want to sit next to me in an airplane either. Although I try to be very space conscientious. The thing about the shoulders is this is not bad. It's not as bad as the legs. My legs, I almost have to cross them in airplanes a lot of the time because there's just no fucking room. There's just no room. It's no good.
Since it was less convenient. All around, this was bad for airlines. It was incentivizing people to take longer, multi-stop itineraries, which cost the airline more to operate, and it forced them to give out more miles, which cost the airline more in redemptions.
Oh, the poor airlines. And everybody in the chat, of course, is talking about driving. Drive-only pledge. Driving's cool. I'm trying to get my own plane. But that's not going to be the solution. You know that that's not going to be the solution.
In short, they were incentivizing against their own interests. This was a rare element of the system that did not work in their favor. So, they changed it. Over the past decade, nearly every major program has pivoted to a system where passengers are rewarded points based on how many dollars they spend rather than how many miles they fly. Among the big three American airlines, it's simple. You spend $1, you earn 5 points. This shifted the system from one where the airline wins overall, but might lose out from time to time, to one where the airline quite literally cannot lose. At least on the earning side, revenue-based systems cannot be exploited.
Yeah, so they change it from miles, you get points per miles, to points per dollar spent, which fucked everyone. I believe that there was really only one other exploit, which this guy explains here, one other exploit that they had in the pocket. And they're also in the chat, we're talking about airplane freakout clips, which again is a landmine field, a field of landmines, a minefield. If you're on a plane and you're cramped with a billion fucking people in this little tin can, you're gonna get up and start using slurs and taking out your dick and going crazy on people. You don't think you're going to get filmed and immediately kicked out, and then they're going to take you into the cargo bay and fucking behead you with the TSA axe, the cleaver, the fucking government-approved cleaver, which they never sharpen and they never clean and they never de-rust. You're going to do that to yourself? Just go into the little tiny bathroom and crank one out like a man and make everyone wait. And then, when you're done, stick your dick in the toilet and then press the button and have the, and then, you know, and then you get that. And that, I got to tell you, praise Allah. They had one exploit left that they had to overcome. The airlines, that is.
The airlines quickly figured out how to restructure the redemption side in their favor, too. It used to be that any economy class flight within the continental U.S. cost 12,500 points on United, regardless of whether it was a Tuesday in February or the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That's despite the fact that cash rates were undoubtedly far higher on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, one of the highest demand travel days of the year. While availability of point seats differed, that meant that someone who did manage to score Thanksgiving Sunday booking on points got a deal. The cost for the airline to offer that seat on points was greater than what the airline earned. That's since the opportunity cost on those highest demand days is huge, as almost every available seat is likely to be sold for cash. Even if it all worked out in the end in the airline's favor, they didn't like these losses, so they switched the way redemptions worked too. Now, nearly every major airline has dynamic award charts. Just like how cash fares rise for high demand days, so too do point redemption rates. For example, in October 2022, United is charging $114 for nonstop Newark to Denver flights on low demand Tuesdays and $254 on high demand Sundays. Meanwhile, mile redemption rates rise from 8,300 to 22,200 points. That roughly 2.5 times rise for each means that mile rates are now correlated to cash rates, and so arbitrage between what airlines charge in miles and cash is no longer possible. So they've now closed loopholes on both ends of the equation. You can't exploit the accumulation of miles or the redemption of miles. Essentially, the only factor placing a check on airlines' power is the exchange rate.
The exchange rate, the almighty exchange rate. So, we've gotten to the point where, yes, Eric PP, they have surge pricing for points, which, again, are revenue-based anyway. So when there's surge pricing in general, it's going to take more points anyway to get the flight. But yes, they also have the surge pricing situation for major holidays. As they would. And they have, the only obstacle they have now, as the man said, is the exchange rate. What does that sound like? Oh, the only thing I have to worry about is the fucking price of money itself. The only thing that I answer to is the Forex. What other institution has the privilege of saying that? A bank, a credit agency, whatever. The airline has really come up into a point of privilege. Point of privilege? And they don't have to worry about anything except, they don't have to fear anything except fear itself.
Considering how much of their profit comes from selling points to credit card companies and other marketing partners, airlines do care tremendously about how much those companies are willing to pay for points, and how much those companies are willing to pay is loosely based on what the general public believes those points are worth. Various travel and finance websites publish their estimated point valuations to help inform consumers of whether they're getting a good deal with a given redemption, and there is a good amount of variability. Aggregating 5 estimates, the average value of 1 point is 1.218¢ for Delta SkyMiles, 1.226 for United Mileage Plus, and 1.416 for American Advantage. What this means is that, if all else were to be equal, consumers would be more incentivized to fly American flights, use American co-branded credit cards, transfer points to American, and more, which means credit card companies and other marketing partners are likely to run out of American points sooner and need to buy more. That being said, power is still in the hands of airlines, as there are only 3 major long-haul airlines in the US, but far more credit card companies. United has partnered with Chase, American with Citibank, and Delta with American Express, but if any of these credit card companies refused to agree to a higher mile purchase price when contract negotiations came around, the airline could dump them and switch to Bank of America, Barclays, Capital One, Discover, each of which would be delighted to score a major airline partner.
Yeah, so these points that they're issuing, again, you can think of them as digital tokens. They're issuing them out and they have a market value. But the market value, the way that that is derived is behind closed doors. It's a black box situation. You don't quite know how the value gets there, but there's speculative entities, websites out there that will tell you the approximate value of it, which is really what they do with spot prices for precious metals and stocks and anything like that. It's really not that dissimilar. So they have a situation where their points are based on a system where it's down to a fraction of a cent as to what they're worth. And they have a relationship to one another. They interact with each other as independent currencies. And then the credit card agencies get involved. The banks themselves get involved. They partner with these airlines. And there's various airlines. There's more than 3 big ones. A lot of the small ones also have their own credit cards, like Alaska, for example. And they have their pick of the litter. There's only, let's say, 6 major airlines in the United States. How many banks are there? There's a lot of them. I mean, there's 4 major banks, but there's plenty of credit agencies and smaller players that would be more than happy to try to entice these airlines with lucrative deals that maybe the big boys aren't willing to to negotiate with. You know, these terms that they're not willing to negotiate. And the airlines get to create this money, and they get to have it, in a way, be backed by the bank. It's coach coin, as Nam says. And can we make an actual token for this? I mean, the answer is yes. You can make a token for fucking anything. It's really fantastic. Now, we were talking on Abs in a Six-Pack the other day about how these dildos that are being thrown in the court at WNBA games, you've heard of this, you've seen this, they have a token now, a cryptocurrency now, dildo coin or something, that it correlates to the event of there being a green dildo, specifically a green dildo, which is the same, because the same color dildo has been thrown on the court 3, maybe 4 times now. It's not a conspiracy. It's not a coincidence. It's a fact. Every time a dildo is thrown on the court, it is acid Nickelodeon slime green, and there is a token tied to it. If you have any information on that, you can contact me at lavishblast@gmail.com. Not a joke. Not a joke, people. Not a joke. Yeah, the airlines are unstoppable. They're fucking unstoppable. They're put on a pedestal by the banks. And again, they're not being taxed. They get to issue all these points, but because these points aren't, they're viewed by the government as a rebate, and they can't tax rebates. Like I believe the example he used was bananas. If you go to the store and, you know, the bananas are 20% off, they can't text you. They really can't text you. They can't tax you on whatever discount that the grocery store is offering that day. That, in their eyes, is what's called a rebate, and it's unconstitutional to tax that sort of thing. Not that being unconstitutional really stops them from doing much, but that one thing in particular, they haven't crossed that line in the sand quite yet. So it's treated the same with these loyalty programs. These are rebates, and people pay into them, and there's a service. There's just some sort of itemized token that's going to be returned to them in some sort of fashion, and services will be rendered, and it's treated as if it isn't money, when it certainly is. The airlines are unstoppable indeed. This is the last clip from this particular topic.
So why is it that the value of these frequent flyer programs has eclipsed the value of the airlines themselves? Well, it's because what's happening here is that airlines are essentially acting as the central banks for their own virtual currencies. They're acting like the US Treasury or the Bank of England or the European Central Bank in that they control the supply of their currency, but airlines' power actually goes far beyond that of these central banks. Not only do they control the flow of the currency, but they also control the availability of goods to spend it on. Then, on top of that, it's as if these all-powerful central banks are operating as private for-profit companies that can just create more of their currency for the purposes of selling it at any given time. Airlines have nearly complete, unchecked control over a currency with which they are the only entity that can convert it to cash. That is the key to their power. Frequent flyer programs are genius financial instruments, because it's nearly impossible for airlines to lose.
Yeah, so you got a situation where you're giving these points out. Say it's, you know, 125,000 points to get this flight. And the airline knows it, and they limit those flights. Say there used to be 7 flights. Now there's only 6 flights a day. They artificially go out of their way to raise the prices of that, and therefore cost more points. So they get to issue more points, charge more people for more points. People have to fly more flights and pay more real cash into this system in order to be able to fly this flight, which is now more expensive because they made it more expensive. So it's a big carrot on a stick situation with that, and it's getting sticky. But these are the hindrances of capitalism, I suppose. And if it was early 2000s, someone would find the Doge dildo. You know, the Dogecoin right now, I think, is like in the top 10 cryptocurrencies as far as market cap. That's insane. There's a lot of good stuff out there right now. A lot of things are baking up. The markets have been doing their thing, and Bitcoin has been hitting all-time highs and slumping down from them, as well as a couple other altcoins out there that are trudging along. Not Chainlink. Anyway, be careful out there, although I know I'm preaching to the maybe the wrong crowd as far as the initial circle here. They know exactly what the hell's going wrong with these airline industries. I'm just shining a little more light on a very specific aspect of it. Because as I said, airlines are very complicated. And if they really have been driven to the point where they can't manufacture and operate airplanes commercially in a way where they can make a profit just from flying passengers, then that's a problem in my eyes at a very fundamental level, at a manufacturing level and at a, you know, a very fundamental economic level, which I don't know if that can be fixed or if that can be remedied in any significant way that would shift that margin. But who knows? There are others out there with grand ideas. Oh, we got Kilo Romeo coming in with a goat slaughtered here. So let's see if I can go into the pen. See if I can find a goat. It's a goat doomed, he says. Lashotti. Well, you're lucky. I just went and got a fresh case of 12-gauge rounds, baby. Some sluggos. Fucking blast every goddamn goat in the whole building, man. I'd love to. Please. Please. Oh, God, please let me fucking slaughter these silly little bastards. These silly little goat bastards with their shitty little rectangle eyes. You know that I realized the other day that horses also have rectangle eyes, rectangle pupils, just like the goats do. I never noticed that before. I was talking with Private Browsing and some friends, and we were talking about how we were like, what the fuck? Why do goats get the rectangle eyes and no one else? Well, turns out that most hooved creatures have rectangle eyes, and I'm just a dipshit, and I never looked deeply into the eyes of the horses that were trying to hurt me when I was hanging out with horses that one time. I mean, horses, you know, horses will fucking kill you. Let that be the moniker of the evening. Horses will fucking kill you. It's true. You should give us a call.
Audio retards and autistic girls.
I like my beer cold and my audio issues solved.
They're just going to do their own thing. Tee-hee-hee. They're having fun doing it their own way. Tee-hee-hee.
Do a commercial. You're off the artistic roll call. Every word you say is suspect. You're a corporate whore. And end of story.
Tail set.
6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9. Tell me to get off your rocks.
Get off the rocks.
Get off your rocks. 612-263-7999. That's right. 612.
Wait.
612-263-7999. Right? That worked. Got him. Nom, roasting him. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Nom is blowing out your mom. Though it's been said many times, many ways. Fuck your mother. Oh yeah, we're gonna go to intermission. We got our first intermission of the night. I'm changing it up tonight. It's just me. It's just fucking me up here. And I'm changing it up. I'm going to do two intermissions tonight. Ha! Two short ones instead of one long one. I'm unpredictable. You don't fucking know what I'm going to do next. I'll be right back after this intermission.
Thank you.
that fake love, it doesn't cost much. Found on a clearance rack at the thrift shop, and you still stole it. You kept the cash in your pocket. And why are you like this? Why no breakthrough? Someone broke you. Can't feel good doing this again. Yeah, what's the point? When you already know the end, you got that fake love. It isn't worth much at all. You know you got that fake love, and you can keep it all. You got that fake love. It isn't worth much at all. You know you got that fake love.
return to
Behind the Schemes.
Starring
Blueberry, and Lavish.
Hello, welcome back to second half of show for episode 238 here, August 18th, 2025. It is currently 8:46 over here on the Brev Coast. 8:46 p.m., which means it's 10:46 Central Time, which means it's 11:46, just 14 minutes shy of midnight in the sewer over there on the East Coast, and also in certain various territories such as the Rust Belt and in the coastal south. We seem to have in the chat room quite the bilingual experience going on. We've got plenty of people in there speaking Spanish, and we've even got one poor soul in there speaking German. Frankie Paint's in the house. Frankie Paint just joined us. How you doing, Frankie Panky? And we got Nom. We got Cotton Gin. We got Private Browsing. We've got Eric PP. We got Kilo Romeo. We've got Sir Spencer and DeLorean. We had Dark Lord RK earlier. We have Reverend Dr. Pfeiffer somewhere around here. Who knows? And we've got you. You are listening. Yes, you, the listener, are listening right now in real time. When will then be now? Just now. So it was nice to see you all. Nice to see you all once more. We are here in the second half of the show. You're a popular guy, Eric PP. We typically like to take this time. Usually I'm joined by my co-host Booberry, the Mothman of the Miniocalypse. The poor Mothman is away. He's a very busy guy, so we're just keeping things alive around here. I just like to keep sharp, you know. I just like to hop on here and talk about some stuff and say hello. And so, you know, it's a real low-key event. Real low-key. 238. Low-key. Very nice. Wow, very nice. We had a pre-show in the neo-soul jazz hip-hop hanging in there. And we are a value-for-value production, which means that we do not have advertisements. We don't have any corporate sponsorship. We don't have any ads anywhere. If you've listened to this show, this episode, and you've heard an ad at any point, well, that's not our fault. That's the app that you're listening to. You need a new app. I'm here to tell you, everybody will tell you, that you need a new app. If you're hearing ads, get a new app. There's plenty of them. You can go to podcastapps.com, and you can go check out the litany of apps that are available. You can go check them out. Also, you can just go in a browser, check it out. Go check out some value-for-value music, some DMU, some decentralized music. You could get a nice start over at lnbeats.com. Check out some cool music, which is where I got the music for tonight's intermissions. I'll just give a shout out to the intermission. Tonight's intermission kicked off with Nate Jovian with his song Fake Love. And then the second song was Gage 44, To the Mountain. Both those songs are today in the top two of LN Beats. And I have to say, they were bangers. I don't always go with the first two, but I have to say, I really like those tunes. And then the last one was from our friends, The Trusted, who played in our latest Satellite Skirmish. And that was their song, Yellowhammer. Nice, nice. And we're in the second half of the show. No ads, no nothing like that. We're publicly supported in the way that radio ought to be. Very publicly supported. And we'd like to take this instance to thank the public that provided us monetary funds, which helps us keep the lights on and domains and all that stuff. You know how domains are. Oh, you know how domains are. Oh, we got Junta that came in with a nice monthly, $3.33. That's Sir Junta, of course, of the Buckeye State Highlands out there in the homestead. Just hung out with Cotton Gin, who physically saw him and even allegedly physically touched him somewhere. So it's good to know that he's alive and well. We hope you're doing well, Junta. We'll probably see you soon. We also had $5.51 come in from crazy recalcitrant Steve, who's going to have a little housewarming / birthday party for his daughter this coming Saturday. Very exciting. Good to go up there. I got my gift in hand. I'm ready to go. Party with it. It was rescheduled. The party was rescheduled, and it will be had anyway. Can't be stopped. So thank you very much, Crazy Steve. Much love to you, my brother. I will see you on Saturday. Looking forward to the festivities, me and private browsing as well. We'll see you then. Also coming in this month, another monthly from Foxfur, came in with a nice, cool Lincoln for us. A sweet $5. So thank you very much, Foxfur. And then we had some nice boosts come in as well. I've read off, I think, most of the boosts, but let's see. We had one come in from Kilo Romeo, and he wanted the goat doomed, and we domed a goat for him. Thank you, Kilo Romeo, 666 via Podverse. And then we had Sir Spencer, came in with 3333, thank you. DeLorean, 3333, thank you. Eric Pretty P, 6666, thank you very much. These are boosts that are coming in through a Value for Value Podcasting 2.0 enabled app. They are sending me micropayments of Bitcoin, Satoshis, through a Lightning Network, which is the future, baby. If you like any band or any podcast that you like, that you listen to, through these apps, you can send them direct support by boosting them Satoshis, sweet, sweet Bitcoin. Which, hey, it's 2025. Bitcoin's money now. It's part of the reserve currency of the United States. Orange Man likes the coin. It's on, man. It's on like Donkey Kong. I don't know what to tell you. It's been a long time coming. That's it for the boosters. That's it for the producees. Thank you, freaks. Thank you, producees. We also have a voicemail line. And not only can you leave a voicemail, you can also leave a text. And not only can you leave a text, but you can leave an image with that text. You could, send me pictures of your feet to 612-263-7999. That's right, 612-263-7999. Give us a call.
They're back. Yeah. Who knows who's here? It's our sheet sitter, Blueberry Mothman, or the apocalyptic dwarf. Who knows? Lavish?
Hi.
But, yeah. We don't know. Listen to last week's episode. I was like, man, dude, this is a... I was like, man, I'm sick of hearing myself. Yeah. But,
sick of hearing yourself. Why?
Here we are. Gotta stay regular, you know?
Well, that's
true. Gotta have fiber. Beans. Copy. Things like that.
Well, that's a fiber.
Keep it flowing. Keep it moving.
Uh-huh. Keep it pushing.
Oh, let's see. Just got done with the 13, so we call you guys. Scream. See. Weird. We had a weird weekend, but,
No, no. Weird in a bad way?
Good and bad.
Good and bad.
At the same time.
Same.
Memorial services are not always.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Especially when... Yeah. Anyway.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, we're going to go with communication. Lack of planning. How about that? We're going to go with that one.
Hmm.
People know, like, stuff lands on the same day, and not to name names, but yeah, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's just kind of like planning stuff out when it's like groups, they know stuff lands on the same day.
Yeah.
You gotta plan the stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, if you want people to be there, mm-hmm. we're committed, and my wife and I, like, making sure that we're there for people and whatnot and do our best to, you know, because we want to be there, you know? We want to be there for people. Yeah. Things and people less, but yeah, you gotta plan this stuff ahead of time, man. Like, don't wait till like week 2-3 advance, like, kind of thing. But yeah, so it's kind of like, oh man, plan it out, do everybody a favor because other people appreciate it, you know? We'll go with that. All right, I love you guys. that address. And whether or not you're planning, or are frustrated about people not planning, go ahead and give a hotta hotta.
Well, of course, people appreciate it. I mean, it's a luxury. It's a rare thing in this world, you know? You gotta... It's rarer than genius, almost. Like, the capability for compassion. And I mean, true capability. Like, really going out of your way to help people. And, so you know, in a way where sometimes if you do it too much, you get taken advantage of course. That's the fucking... That's the snap of life. That's the scorpion hiding under the jewel, isn't it? Ah! But still, kindness is an amazing force. And, you know, Christopher Battles, you seem like a very, very good man. You call in all the time. You always make sure to let us know what's going on in your life. You know, you give us a little meat here in the screams, and you always give a good scream. You're a very good man, and I really appreciate you, and I want you to know that. And I wish you well, and I'm very sorry about your recent trials. And hopefully things will move in the step in the right direction after all. We got a boost from N.A. Millennial. He gave me a good old America boost, 1776. And he says, throwing a green dildo on the goat slaughter court. Que grande! Via fountain. Well, I think we should give my good man, Nomsky, a little bombsky. And what's more American than baseball? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do a second one. Oh, two hits. Roped it right down the center line. Very good. Very good. Very, 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 very good. 612-263-7999. You don't have to text me a picture of your feet. You can just call me and describe your feet to me. You can do that in 7 seconds.
Long time listener, third time caller.
Third time
caller. I don't know how many times.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that it puts the lotion on its schemes,
mm-hmm.
or it gets the schemes again.
Mm.
It puts the lotion on its schemes,
mm.
or else it gets the schemes again.
True. Very true. Based on a true story. Very true, caller. In my experience, and I've found that going out through life, weaving through in and out the tapestry of existence, I found that to be very true. Thank you very much, caller. Third time caller. Well, fourth time's a charm. Good schemies, good screamies, good screambos. You didn't describe your feet, but that's okay. Maybe next time. Fourth time's a charm. We got a text here. We got a cool text. Oh, that's a cool text. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. I bet you wish you could see this image that I'm looking at right now. Wow. It's a... oh, boy. What is that? That's a silver coin of some manner. It's a Greek coin, an old Greek coin showing a labyrinth with the Minotaur in the middle. The Minotaur. Oh, from Circananavian. Oh, Circananavian. What's up, brother? Brother. Let me, let's see if I can do this section. I'm going to eventually get the image into the chat. It just takes a little MacGyvering on my part, you know. But it will get in there. It's, you know what it is. It's a silver coin. It's got a maze. It's in a square formation. And it's got a Minotaur in the middle. That's from when we were talking about episode 237. So the last episode of Behind the Schemes. Which we had with the fantastic, the absolutely magnificent Sir Seat Sitter of AbsInASixPack.com fame, also known as PodTard.com, also known as FuckMyAss.com, ShitMyAss.com. You could find him there. Sir Seat Sitter and I talked about 237. We talked about The Shining. We talked about the themes of The Shining. There are many of them. And one of the themes was the Minotaur and the thing. In the thing with the Minotaur. That was great. Okay. Let's see if I can. Can I do this? Nope. It didn't work. Ooh. We have to. Oh, you know what? I'll do that. Oh, it looks really cool. I'm telling you. I'll get it to you. I promise. I'll get it to you. We'll get it to you. Thank you, Sir Canon Naming. It's fucking great hearing from you, pal. Oh, we got a. Oh, look at that GIF. Oh, man. I bet you wish you could see this GIF. Oh, man. That's a great GIF. You know what? It's a GIF of the Little Mermaid stretching her feet out at me. I like that GIF a lot. We're going to get that into the chat, too. Don't you worry. We're going to get that. Okay, we got some feet coming in. Ooh. I scrolled up a little bit, and I saw more than feet. That's a really nice little thread here we got going on. We got feet. We got a man watching baseball and showing me a picture of his feet. And we have some feet sex GIFs. What is this, a GIF for ants? Wow, what a GIF. I can't wait to show that one to you guys, too. This counts as feet for sure. That compressed to shit. You're right, Texter. You're right. Oh, boy. Got some feet coming in here. Big time. Big time feet. You know what I'll do? I'm going to... let's see here. I'm going to put feet in the chat. I have a second intermission. I have brought with myself a second intermission. I'm trying this out. Like a new pair of underwear. I'm seeing if this is going to work out for me. So I'm going to try a second intermission because fuck it. I got the airline thing. I'm interested in knowing what's on your mind. And that's why I want a little, if you got it in you, if you got a scream mail in you, I would really appreciate it. It's a beautiful Monday evening. It's August 18th. It's 2025. We're alive. We're here. Help me live. 612-263-7999. Tell me anything. Tell me fucking anything. Okay. Except use judgment. I'm going to get the feet in the chat and I'm going to play another intermission because there's a lot of good music out there. Let's see. Intermission B. What is it? Intermission B. Where did I put it? It's a VHS, VCR tape. Looking for it. Here on the second intermission, we got Cheap Suits with Kiss Up, and we've got a very special Pink Floyd medley from my friend and your friend, Mr. Bull After Bull, Sir Spencer himself. And where did I put... Oh, here it is. There's the VCR. Just put it right. We'll put some feet in the chat. 612-263-7999.
It won't be long till his hands around your neck. He wants nothing more than your attention. Shirts off, chest out, neck string is on me, he said, but he'd rather it was you. You ain't seen nothing yet. He's got much more to say. He's stumbling across the room in a high-vis vest and pink beret. He'll throw your ass ping pong ball or down a drink for you. There's not much more he wouldn't do, cause he knows that he can't lose. He's a kiss up for a girl like you, quick on his feet, like a fast one too. Oh, it won't be long till his hands around your neck. He wants nothing more than your attention. Shirts off, chest out, neck string is on me, he said, but he'd rather it was you.
a kiss off in your phone. Say you don't care, but you want him. He won't tell you what you want to hear, but he sure looks good when the lights are dim.
Thank you. you can.
We now return to
Behind the Schemes,
starring
Booberry, and Lavish.
I don't talk to no journalists.
Hello and welcome back to second half of show. This is again episode 238. We're wrapping up here. Just me, Lavish, here hanging out on Monday's night. Some good friends of mine. Well, we listened to that beautiful rendition. While I was listening to that beautiful rendition of Sir Spencer doing Pink Floyd medley, I was looking at this gif of him fucking his wife, because he texted it into the thing. And it's a great fucking gif, but it's too big. I can't find a way to immediately get it over into the thing. I can't get it in the chat room. I'm sorry, Sir Spencer. I've tried, and my channel's not good. But in the gif, it's a fantastic little shot of the feet cupping the balls, which to me is one of the best. I think that's just a real winner. If you can get a lady who can get it up there, you know, to get the feet up there to cup the balls a little bit. Oh, thanks, Spencer. Thank you very much. That's in the chat. By the way, you can get in the chat room. You can go to our website, bts.lol, or you could go to our show notes at zososcorner.substack.com. You get a link to all of our stuff. We've got a shop where you can get shirts. We've got fantastic art made, for the most part, by Booberry the Mothman himself, fresh off the press. And you can get into the chat room and you can see people fucking. And you get to see some cool pictures of feet and some GIFs. And, of course, you can just get an IRC client and go to the server, irc.zeronode.net. And you can go to our channel, #greenroom, one word. You come on in. Say hello. We seem to have a voicemail of somebody who's describing their feet. Let's take a listen in and see what's going on. Oh, there. Wait, one sec. Let me fix it. Why don't I unmute this fucking tab?
All 10 toes are there. They are intact. They've been beaten up by 13 years of dance.
Yep.
And years of wearing flat Converse.
No support, no support.
A little long. Not too bad. Size 9. Mm-hmm. Usually get a 9.5 Converse so that they can spread out. Sparkly nail polish. Not much color except for holographic. Good evening.
Holographic as in like oil slick? Like in, was it iridescent, incandescent, irreverent, whatever they call the sparkling color, that oil slick color. That's all the color. That's all the color there is. Get a little support for those shoes. I know you're on your feet all the time, but thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad that after all these years of dance, you still have all 10 digits to account for, which, as I understand, in the dance field is not a guarantee. Not a guarantee by a substrate, much like being a carpenter does not guarantee that you're going to have all 10 of your fingers, or really anything for that matter. You never know what'll fall on top of you. Maybe something good. You never know. Well, thank you so much for calling in and texting in, everybody, tonight. You know, that's all I got. I'm going to keep it nice and short and sweet tonight. didn't want to bring a bunch of shit. Just, you know, if you came in late and you want to hear the airline stuff, we'll publish and you can go back and check it out. But in the meantime, I've had a fantastic evening tonight with all of you. And it's been a real joy. It's been a real pleasure. I miss hopping on here and saying hello. And, of course, I miss my sweet Mothman, wherever he may be fluttering around. But he will return someday. And in the meantime, we're gonna keep trucking along. We're gonna keep doing little bits here and there. I'm not going to be in next Monday because, as I said, I'm going to see a very important show. I'm going to be seeing Toto, and I'm going to be seeing Christopher Cross and Men at Work all in the same show. It's the Yacht Rock Tour, and they're playing in my local pavilion. This place is like literally down the street from me. So I'm going to go and I'm going to have a great time and I'm going to disappear for a little bit. I won't be around on Monday, next Monday, but you might see me the following or on the third. You never know. It seems like every 3 to 4 Mondays is kind of the whatever. JCD is going to be there, Cotton Gin. That's right. JCD will definitely be at the Toto show. Green Day is opening for them. Not Green Day, but Green Day. And it's going to be a holiday. You're going to love it. But the truth is I'm going to see JCD soon enough. I go to those meetups and he comes to every single fucking one. I mean, he's never missed any of those Mallard meetups. So anytime I want to go pester him, I just go there and pester him. I do. And I'm kind of the guy at the meetup now who, if there's someone who's new, I can tell right away. Cause I've been to like over half a dozen of these things now, and there's a regular crew that comes out. And if there's somebody new and they're kind of nervous and they're walking around, I will go up to them and I will say, hello, you know, I'm Sir Lavish, whatever. Welcome to the meetup. It's great to have you here, blah, blah, blah. You want to meet JCD? And I immediately push him right over to JCD. Oh, you want to talk to JCD. You definitely want to talk to him. He's dying to meet you. So that's my job now at the meetups. Thanks, JCD. Good night, Frankie Payne, and good night to everybody. It's been such a lovely evening here. August 18th, 2025. Thanks for calling in again. 612-263-7999. We're a value for value podcast. We don't have any commercials. We don't have any ads. It's just fucking bullshit. It's fucking asshole. So we're going to not do it. Instead, we're going to be publicly supported. Yeah. So visit us, visit our website, behindtheschemes.com, with threes for ease and schemes, or you can go to bts.lol. You go to our, our show notes, zosascorner.substack.com. That'll have links to everything, nude podcast apps, to our chat room, to our shirts and stuff, to our bags and stuff, to our art and stuff. It's all kinds of stuff out there. Oh my god, it gets better all the time. No Agenda Stream, thanks for tuning in again. We're live almost every Monday night. Well, I'm not almost every night. We're live on occasional Monday nights. And we'll see you on the next one. You know, we're not going away. We're right here. Just keep an eye out for all those fucking scam artists and bullshit motherfuckers that are trying to rip you, man. Living in a post-9/11, post-COVID fucking dystopian nightmare, and we're here for you. That's what the small group's all about. We're here about looking out for each other in this shitty, fucking, crazy nightmare. I'm going to enjoy the shit out of Toto. Thank you very much, Eric PP. Much love to you, Eric. Thanks to people who tuned into the early pre-show. Got the channel in the show notes there for you. Okay. Smoke him if you got him. Toke him if you got him. Bang him. See you next time. Bye-bye.